This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're joined in studio by West Seneca Supervisor Gary Dixon. Gary, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Lots going on. Let's start with what we talked to Congressman Nick Langworthy about, and that is the corrections officers. And before we get to the actions taken, well, your thoughts on the strike and the conditions that they've been talking about?
Well, I think you need to look at what brought us to this point. You know, they had inhumane working conditions, dangerous working conditions, dangerous for them and for the inmates. We had crazy mandated overtime, you know, 16-hour shifts, 24-hour shifts. They weren't allowed to go home. I mean, any other worker in any other profession would not put up with this. I mean, can you imagine your wife saying, honey, I won't be home for another, you know, 8 hours, or I can't come home? I mean, it's just crazy. And then the inability to prevent drugs from coming in. I mean, you had before the strike, you had, you know, COs being struck down by something that required Narcan. They never really told us what. And just recently in Attica, it's the same thing. I mean, it's who could really blame them for saying enough is enough?
What do you think of the governor using National Guards and still using National Guard, even with the strike over, in positions that really they didn't sign up for?
I mean, they're not trained for it, so they require, you know, supervision. I've heard rumors that, they have female National Guard soldiers that are being subjected to very kind of rude, remarks or even displays by inmates. I mean, they're just not set up for this. If you maybe put in National Guard MPs, I could see that, but just regular National Guard, it just doesn't seem right.
Now, last week, the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, put a directive out for Erie County that covered all Erie County and Erie County municipalities, banning the corrections officers, saying in concert with the state, banning corrections officers. Now, he then, like a day later, put a pause to that. So first, I'll start with the way the state has handled this and really just trying to make sure that these guys can't get jobs in their field within the state.
It's dumbfounding. I mean, the governor came out with an executive order on March 11th. Essentially banning fired COs from working at any level of government, at any job, and creating a blacklist so that in the future, I guess, if the state is supposed to look at this blacklist, and if someone was ever fired, they can't get a job. And this affects state, county, local government. I mean, we give employment rights to felons. But we're not giving them to COs. A lot of these guys, you know, they had health insurance taken away. They're in the retirement system, you know. So we're essentially driving them out of the state if they want to continue in their profession. I mean, I personally think the governor's executive order is probably not valid. Chemung County has brought a lawsuit in Albany to overturn it, and frankly, I think Erie County should join it. I mean, think about it. An executive order is only good for 30 days and has to be justified as dealing with an emergency situation. It temporarily suspends for those 30 days state and local law to deal with the declared emergency. Firing, you know, banning the COs from working anywhere, even in a part-time job in a village, does nothing to help address that crisis. But, you know, and the Erie County government goes even further because it requires us and everybody else in Erie County to fire somebody, a CO. If a CO after February 17th quit, if he was striking and then he quit right away and went and got a job at a village or a town, the county says you have to fire him. That goes farther than the executive order. The executive order is only good for 30 days. The county order apparently is forever. So there, it's actually even more vicious, more vindictive than even the state.
Wow. So you heard that. What was your first call to action? What did you think when you heard the county executive was going above the state?
I was just dumbfounded. I mean, it's hard to imagine what they think they're going to get out of this. But, you know, they overturned it, like, rapidly. You know, the next day, so we got it. It was apparently signed on the 18th. We got it on the 19th. And on the 20th, we got another email saying, timeout, pause it. Because there's, I assume, because of the lawsuit that Chemung County's doing. But, you know, think about it. The governor gives an order. There's no stay on that order. There's no temporary restraining order. It's theoretically still in effect. But Erie County thinks, well, we have the power to say, well, don't pay attention to the executive order. So they either have to follow it or join the lawsuit, frankly, because that's what, if I was them, that's what I would do, because this is not acceptable.
Unfortunately, though, do you see our current county structure joining the lawsuit?
No, I don't. And I don't know why. I mean, I personally think that she is doing everything the governor needs to reinforce her left flank for the upcoming election. Mm-hmm. And she needs to get New York City Democrats on her side. And, you know, apparently it's popular in some circles to pick on law enforcement, to pick on corrections officers. I wouldn't think that's the case in Western New York. But you know, here we have, and I just think it's, I join, you know, everybody else. I don't know anybody really that supports this.
No. Now, so as it stands today, if a CO, a former CO, wants a job in West Seneca, can you and will you hire them?
Well, I mean, according to the county, because the county runs the civil service system, according to them, we cannot. However, what I would do is, and we don't have, the only openings we have right now are for public safety dispatchers, which does not make as much as a CO or a police officer. And they would still have to be on the list. There's a civil service list and they have to qualify and all those rules. But if we had someone who was who qualified and we actually wanted to hire, I would definitely do what we could to hire him, because I don't think this is going to stand, frankly. You know, it's funny, as I understand it, the next hearing in the Chemung County case in Albany is the 18th of April, which is actually after this CO expired, the EO, I mean, the executive order expires. So is she going to expand it? Is she going to not? But again, as I said, the county is basing their order on civil service law, not on really on the executive order. So the county is apparently, the county order is forever until they rescind it. It's bizarre.
And currently that is paused, but knowing the county, they're going to wait till the talk kind of dies down, and then all of a sudden they're just going to put the resume on it? Is that how you think?
I would assume, yeah. They say it's based on the ongoing legal actions. Well, yes, there is a lawsuit by Chemung County in Albany. It hasn't been stayed, though, so it hasn't stopped the executive order. And so, you know, I don't get where they're coming from. They're just, it's almost like Erie County is trying to outdo the governor.
So Chemung County suing the state, Is there a way, if the county put this back into effect, that towns like West Seneca could bring some kind of action against Erie County to have this kind of put away?
I would, and of course I'd have to talk to the town attorney, but if we had a specific injury, shall we say, you know, somebody we wanted to hire that they were saying we couldn't hire, then we would have grounds to sue. And we would certainly, you know, the town board would have to make that decision. I think that would be a good idea. Again, I don't see this happening, you know, anytime soon. So I'm hoping cooler heads will prevail and we won't have to go through this.
You know, this brings up a question. And the supervisor of Marilla was on with David Bellavia earlier this week. And he was asked, you know, do you have regular contact with the county executive? And he said, well, since COVID, I haven't had any kind of, you know, much communication with the Rath building. You are the supervisor of West Seneca, pretty big town in Erie County. Do you have regular communication with county leadership?
Only with our legislator, Lindsay Larigo. We don't have, I mean, when I got elected in 2019, so took office in 2020, I met with the county executive. Other than that, he'll, every once in a while, if there's a, when there's like a snow disaster or something, he'll call up and say, hey, you know, how's it going? During COVID, he called me when we had our first COVID case. He said, hey, you know, it's reached West Seneca. But other than that, no. And, you know, we have monthly meetings of, there's an Erie County Association of Governments that a lot of, you know, supervisors, and but he never goes to those, even though he's the main government in Erie County.
So you, because Lindsay was on last week and said the last time that he met with legislator Republicans, it was just to complain about Trump for the whole lunch. So you have not been in on any of those meetings.
No, I've heard the same thing. And also, as I said, during snowstorms, he'll have regular like telephone calls that where we talk about you know, what's going on with the snow. But other than that, no.
So it has to be event based. He doesn't do check ins on.
No. Okay. No, never.
Now, you mentioned you were elected in 2019, took office in 2020. You and I was filling in for Tom Bowerly's right before the pandemic. You and I had a discussion about the Seneca Mall site then, 5 years ago. I remember that because I think it was the last normal show I had before we had to go into COVID mode. There's been a bit of a development on that site.
Yes, that was one of my main campaign promises back in 2019 and for re-election in 2023, even though I knew all the way in 2023 that we definitely had movement. So yeah, we're very grateful that the former owner finally was pushed to sell. And I say pushed, I don't think he did it really voluntarily. The community, the Chamber of Commerce, other political figures were saying, you know, just do what you got to, you know, get rid of it. You're not going to develop it, get rid of it, put it up for sale. So they did. And a group of investors, one of the main ones being Benchmark from Amherst, did buy it, and they seem quite capable, and they have a plan, and it's a good plan, and they are we have movement, so we are very optimistic that we're going to see something there in the next year or two. Certainly, preliminary you know, construction and things like that.
Now, I know you can't answer what, but is it retail?
Yeah, it's so if you look at the plans that they've submitted are all on the Town of West Seneca website under the planning board. Excuse me. And so they have a map, and there's no names on the buildings, but it's several large retail, you know, buildings so appropriate for retail, as well as in the middle, possible gas station or possible drive-throughs. The biggest building is, we can say, is a nationally known big box store.
Yeah.
It's quite large, 180,000 square feet. There's a 120,000 square foot building next to it that we believe is going to be one tenant, and then which we also have a rough idea of. And then the other buildings are probably going to be, will be several retailers, all of whom are well known. And these are the kind of retailers that you would typically see like in Amherst or maybe Orchard Park. And they finally, you know, got a developer who realizes the value of the site being right there on the 90. And, you know, we're very, very pleased.
So it's kind of like the plan that the former owner said was going to be after they tore down the Seneca Mall, right? This was supposed to be a power station back in 94, 95. This is finally going to come true, just with a different owner.
Yeah, I mean, back then, Supervisor Paul Clark, I know, thought he had a deal back then. And I know back in roughly 2015, he came to the town board with a very elaborate multi-use with streets and fountains and underground parking for the whole site. The town board, and he wanted the town to invest about $70 million. The town board, you know, very appropriately said, thanks, but no thanks. You know, this is your property. You build it. And so we've been, that's where we were. And but here we are today. And we're, as I said, we're very happy. It's, you know, they own it. So the buyer gets to decide what goes there. We make suggestions, but at the end of the day, they have to be comfortable they can make a profit.
And it sounds like you have an idea of the tenants. So this isn't going to turn out like Station 12 down the street.
I certainly hope not. You know, I know that they had plans for that, too. You know, I think it's a different developer, yep. And these guys know the community very well. Someone the other day called them like Benderson, but a bit smaller. So very, very capable, and the retailers have a lot of confidence in them, so they can get something done.
Yeah, and it's a very busy area. Not going to have a problem with people seeing it or getting there.
Yeah, and across the street, we have Ellicott Development is going to put in some apartments. Someday they want to put in another hotel.
Nice.
So, yeah, that part is of town is looking really, really well. The town, for Seneca Mall, the town is not even being asked to give any money. They will try to apply, I'm sure, for state tax exemptions, but regardless, I mean, this is definitely a big win for West Seneca. Once it's fully built, that'll be a lot of additional tax money.
As a former retail employee and as someone who knows, if this doesn't work out, I might be back in retail. I'm always fascinated with retail stories. Before you go, I've got to ask you. So we talked about communications with the county executive. We know he's not running for re-election. You're a very popular Republican in a popular town. Are you eyeing the county executive seat?
Well, it's certainly something I would consider. Yeah, I voted for, and we put in term limits in West Seneca. So my term is up, and I'll be term limited. I think there should be term limits everywhere. I think if you can't get what you want done in 8 years, it's time to step aside and you let someone else do it. So I would consider it, but you know, it's I think we have quite a number of talented people, so. You know, we'll have to see. And as to him not running, he's certainly acting like he's running. That's for sure.
Well, I've said this, and I know Hardline's not for my opinion, but I have said that he used COVID as a reason to run for re-election last time, and I think he'll use Trump as a reason to run for re-election this time. But I think, again, I'll give my opinion tomorrow when I fill in for Bauerle. Supervisor Gary Dixon, always great catching up with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.